that, you know, that baby grows in that womb and that mother nurses that baby, and then the whole birthing process. I mean, it's just amazing how God designed that. And you know, as we in our obedience to God form our household in obedience to His Word. Yes, the man goes out and he provides and he works for the family, but the mother is the one who holds the stitches together. Amen. It's the glue. It's the rock of our household. And you know, I'm super blessed to have my wonderful mother, and be blessed to be married to a wonderful woman that is the mother of our children, that is the glue that holds our family together. So so thankful this day for our mothers. I mean, it's just super thankful. And you know, this message today is titled Salvation by Grace. We have been really hammering on the insufficiency of our capabilities to live in perfection. Amen. We've really been dialing in this lesson in the book of Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. But we have really been dialing in how the law brought salvation to no man. The purpose of the law was to illustrate God's or man's rebellion to God. Amen. Paul said it was utilized as a mirror to sin. He went on further to say that it was a tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, a lot of people, when they study the Word of God, they fail to realize that every ounce of every part of every scripture points to the cross. Amen. It points to Jesus Christ. It points to the salvation that God brought by His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And by us believing on the Son of God, we are accounted to righteousness. Amen. That is our God. Amen. And that's why we turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen. That is why we focus on the cross. Because this world can be heavy. It can be burdensome. We can go through trials. We can go through heartache. We can go through temptation. We can go through all these things. But let me tell you something. When you keep your eyes feasting on that cross, it makes everything okay. Whereby you can say, it is well with my soul. You know, I hear my dad say all the time, he's homesick. Well, don't be a Martha. Don't miss your opportunity now, though. You know what I mean? Don't miss your opportunities now, right? God's still got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. You ain't home yet. Don't waste the opportunities that you have now to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity this morning to go out again to proclaim the gospel to some children and their families. And I was talking to them about self-discipline. I was talking to them about how we are to be disciplined in our faith, right? And let me tell you something. Last week you heard me say many a times, I wanted you guys to kind of dwell on it, and I wanted you guys to kind of think about it, because I never really let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, because I talked about how we are obedient to God, right? And we serve God, and how that service isn't to receive the blessings of God, right? We don't do those things to receive the blessings of God. We aren't working inside of this body of Christ in order to receive the blessings of God. The blessings of God are a kind of a build up, or they're a tribute, or they're just an additive to our faith, but it isn't why we do those things. Do you know why we serve? Do you know why we're obedient to God's word? Because He is worthy. If God never blessed us a day in our lives, we would still serve Him because He is worthy. The Lamb is the one that is worthy. You remember in Revelations when nobody could break open the scrolls, and they were trying to find somebody to get the scroll open, and there come the Lamb of God. He was the only one worthy to break open those scrolls. So you want to know why we come and we congregate and we come and we worship, we come and we sing and we come and we praise? It's because God is worthy of it. Amen. So that's the whole reason why. We don't do it for the blessings. The blessings of God is just, you know, it's just wonderful. It's just a nice additive to our faith, right? We're blessed by Him. Amen? And a lot of times our perceptions of the of blessings isn't really... it's really not good. You know, we kind of look at that glass of being half empty instead of overrunning and half full. Amen. So our perception of how God is blessing us is the fact that we got up this morning, we have air in our lungs, we have breath, we have life, and we've come out and we're worshiping, right? That's a blessing of God. Amen. So you know, perception can do that. The world can come in and they can try to suffocate out the very blessings of a breath, the very blessings of oxygen, the very blessings that the fact that you can have a wife or a family or whatever it may be. Those little blessings you tend to overlook. You tend to overlook, especially when you're going through a trial, right? Or when you've got troubled waters in your life. You know, you might have a little bit of setback, right? And you've concentrated so hard on those setbacks that you've missed the blessings of God, right? So that song, Count Your Blessings. You know, when you're going through those things, you count those many blessings of God. Listen, guys. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, as you grow in faith, it'll come easier. It'll come easier and easier and easier and easier. Amen. But this message of salvation by grace is just, I mean, Paul really takes this to a pinnacle of his pot's getting ready to flow over, right? I mean, he has really just dove into this because these folks had received him. These folks had seen the change in their lives. These folks had seen grace be bestowed upon them. And then the false teachers come in and they were quick to turn away from the grace of God back and started relying upon themselves to achieve that favor. And Paul said, you all are foolish. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4, verse 21, he says, you want to live by the law? Have you not heard it? Have you not heard the law? Do you know what it demands? It demands perfection. All right, it demands perfection. You know, a lot of times, even in younger Christians or maybe some older Christians, they get into that rut of being Pharisee-like, right? They get into that rut of saying, you know, placing burdens on people or placing burdens on themselves of trying to live by the law, right? Because that law demands perfection. The Bible says that if you break one, you've broken them all. And guess what? By breaking one of them, what's the judgment? Death. That's exactly right. That is death. So if you want to live by the law, you've got to live by all of them. If you break one, then your rightful punishment is death. Right? So Paul says, have you not heard that? Have you not heard the law? And what it demands in verse 21 of chapter 4? So we serve... We're obedient. We submit to the will of God, not because it's something that we want to do in order to earn favor in the eyes of God, but it is because God is worthy. He's worthy of service. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of our obedience, church. You don't want to know why every single Christian in their walk with God should have a yearning internally to please the holiness of God. Because he is worthy. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God is the one, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is the one who is worthy. And Psalms 145, verses 1 to 5, listen to what the psalmist says. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Now this is the works of God. Go to 8 through 9 of the same psalm. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Amen. 14 through 21. The Lord upholds all who fall. Let me read that again. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down, and the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you have given them their food in due seasons. You open their hand, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. Amen. That is our God, church. That is our God. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Listen to what this says. Praise the Lord, the Bible says. Praise the Lord, the psalmist says. Praise the Lord, we say. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and a harp. Praise him with a tremble and dance. Praise him with strings and instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Amen. This is our God, church. This is our God. Our God who has given us life. Our God who has brought down to us the salvation found in that cross, found in the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you something. That song that says, for we have the blood that is running through our veins. Amen. If you have been born again, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. This is our God. This is why he is the one who is worthy to be praised. Amen. Now that is something that the law could not do. It could not do. And that is why Paul was so disturbed with them turning back to it. He said, have you not read the law? Have you not read it? Did you not hear about it? All right, so in Galatians, if you're able to do so, will you please stand and reverence God's word for me? He's going to tell you about our liberty that we have in the Son, Jesus Christ. Verses 1 through 6. Listen to what he said. He says, stand fast, friends. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. And right there, let us pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, just so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together, Lord, and to grow in spirit and in truth, Father. May we grow in courage. May we grow in strength, Father. May you open our hearts to receive your will, Lord. Give us eyes to see, Father. Open our minds, Lord, that we may know the truth, Father. Give us, Almighty God, the words to speak, Lord, that we, Father, that we may be a light to a lost and dying world, Lord, that somebody, somewhere, needs to hear your words, Father, needs to hear your promises, Father, for we are standing firm on those promises, Father. We pray this day that you are glorified and that your Holy Son is magnified, Father. God, give us the feet to do your will, Lord, we pray this day, Father. God, we love you and we praise you. Help us, O God, to love you more, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul says, stand fast, therefore. Stand fast. He's saying to them, he said, listen, you need to stay where you are. You need to stay under grace. Don't move away from grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor, and you are freed from the law. You are freed from the law and the flesh, and you're in the full blessings of God's grace.
Amen. Amen.
Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. You remember when Christ was on that cross, what he said? What he say? He said, it is what? It is finished. It is finished, church. Salvation had been bought. It had been paid for. The debt would have been wiped free. You believe in Jesus Christ, you have no more sin. You've been set free. You've been set free. You've been set free by trying to earn God's favor. You cannot do it, church. Paul says, haven't you heard the law? Have you read it? It demands perfection. Can you do it? No. You can't do it, church. That's why Christ has set us free. You've been freed, our freedom. You've been delivered from the curse that the law proclaims on the sinner. You've been aimlessly trying to achieve your own righteousness. Aimlessly. You can't do it, church. You can't do it. But now you have found favor in the eyes of God. Hold on to that cross. Hold on to that robe. You remember that girl, that lady that was had that blood disease? And she had so much faith that she believed that she, if she could just touch the hem of his garments, she would be healed, right? I want you to have that kind of faith. I want you to have that faith that if you know that if you could just touch or just get close to the hem of that garment, you're going to be healed, church. Because one day you will be fully healed. You'll be fully glorified. You'll be fully restored, church. We'll no longer have this curse of this flesh. We'll no longer be in this fight. We'll no longer be in this fight to where the spirit is fighting against his flesh. His old flesh is wanting to live in this world. He wants to do his thing. And that spirit, right? So that's why we need to walk by the spirit, which we'll get to in a later date. But we need to walk by that spirit. We need to grow in that spirit, right? As I was talking to those kids this morning about self-discipline, right? I said everybody wants to get to heaven, right? Everybody here this morning, I can guarantee you, you're going to tell me that you believe in God. You're going to tell me that you want to go to heaven, right? You're going to tell me that you don't want to go to hell, right? But let me ask you something, church. Are you living that right? Are you living that way? Are you living as God tells you to live, right? Are you being disciplined, right? Because I can tell you, God is worthy of your discipline. Right? We're not disciplined. We don't serve. We don't study. We don't grow because of our own self-ambition. We do it because the Spirit of God is stirring in us. Right? Internally, we proclaim externally. We grow internally as we're reading the Word, right? Right? You're wanting to go to heaven. You're wanting to have a relationship, but are you doing the work? Because later on here, we're going to get to that verse where it says in verse 6, if faith working, faith is working through love, right? James said, you need to be doers of the word, right? You need to be doers of the word. Don't deceive yourself and profess only, even the demons believe and tremble, right? But we are working through love. You remember back in Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be without hypocrisy and all those great things. Paul says, I beseech you by the tender mercies of God that you present to yourselves blameless and holy. Why do we do those things? Because God loves us and He sent His Son to die for us, church. That is why we do those things. We don't do those things because we think that we're going to get blessings for God, or we think that we're going to earn something in God's favor. No, we do those things because God first loved us. Right? That's why we do those things. So he tells them, he says, stand in Christ. Stand firm, stand fast in Jesus Christ. It is the one who has set you freed. You have set you free. The Jews even professed and proclaimed all the way back in the first few centuries that the essence of true religion was living by the law. That's what they said, and I kind of tend to agree with them. Religion will make you do sacrificial things to think that you're going to earn something, right? That is the center of self-righteousness. The center of self-righteousness is religion, of thinking you're going to earn favor in the eyes of God because you do certain things. Church, Jesus Christ is that only way. He is that only way. We hold fast. We hold fast to Jesus Christ. It can only be granted to us. Heaven can only be granted to us by the grace of God through our faith. By the grace of God through our faith. It is by grace you are saved through faith. Through faith. You believe and it is accounted to you a righteousness. Amen. Because when we believe, Christ takes His righteousness and imputes it to us, and we take our sin and it is imputed to Him on that cross, church. You know the great thing, you want to know another reason why God is worthy of being praised? Because when He looks upon that old sinner, and I know I am the chief, when He looks upon the old sinner, He sees His Son. That is our God, church. So stand fast, Paul says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Not in your works of righteousness. Not in the law. He goes on to say that that is a yoke of bondage. A yoke of bondage. As a matter of fact, what did he say about it many and many times? It's slavery, church. It is burdensome. Now we know that Paul uses a comparison much like Jesus Christ did, talking about the yoke and how those yokes paired up the oxen so that they could work together. A lot of times you would take an older oxen and you would yoke it up with a younger oxen in order to teach it the direction that it needed to go. Well, the law is being a yoke to bondage. It's a yoke to slavery. Jesus Christ is a yoke to freedom, church. Freedom. True freedom. True freedom. In verse 2 he says, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. The atoning sacrifice of Christ profits nothing or no one anything if they rely on the law as a way to salvation. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen, if you rely upon anything that the law has to offer in order for you to be saved, then Christ profits you nothing. Church, nothing. There is no way that you can make a ceremony to atone for sin. Jesus Christ said that animal sacrifices you were not pleased with, but a body you have prepared for me. So that when that body went to the cross to die for those sins, it was finished, church. It was finished. That is our God. Now you see why He is worthy to be praised. Now do you see why that we gain strength by our fellowship when we come in and we worship in spirit and in truth? We grow in the Word of God, in the freedom that Christ has given us. Amen. Verse 3, it says, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." You break one, you break them all. Let me give you a little truth here. If you lived your life 99.99999999999% good, it wouldn't be good enough. Church, it wouldn't be good enough. It would not be good enough to save you as the law demands. It would not be good enough because God's righteous standards is 100% absolute perfection, church. And there was only one that could obtain it, and that was God Himself, who lowered Himself down in the form of a man and fully God. He lived by His holy standards, church, and fulfilled the law that God demanded. He fulfilled it. And when you break God's holy standard, you will be judged by His holy standard. And His holy standard said that your judgment and your penalty is death. Church, I don't know about you, but I want to live and live free. Amen. And that life comes by the way of your belief in the cross. It comes by your belief in the cross. Verse 4, he says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." Paul clearly states here that any attempt to be justified by the law is a direct attack and a rejection of salvation by grace alone through Christ alone. Amen. And faith alone. It is, you are rejecting that the fact that your faith justifies you. Your belief justifies you. Your faith deems you righteousness, right? That is a direct attack. Salvation comes by the grace of God through Christ. It is very clear. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Christians possess the imputed righteousness of Christ. When you believe, Christ imputes His righteousness upon the believer. And that perfection will become in its fullness when we are glorified with Jesus Christ. Amen? Where this old fleshly sinful body will be laid down and it will be raised up, being glorified when the body and the spirit meets one another. Amen? And will be created anew. Amen? Romans chapter 4. If you go to Romans chapter 4, verse 6, this is talking about Abraham. You remember how Paul was teaching the Romans how we are justified by our faith? In Romans chapter 4, he says, "What did Abraham find in the flesh? He found nothing. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God," verse 2 of chapter 4. "But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him to righteousness." Now listen to what it says. "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt." Amen. The works of the law is debt, church. You are freed in Jesus Christ. You are deemed righteous by your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith equals righteousness. Equals righteousness. Chapter 8, verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us," down in 21, "because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Christians have imputed righteousness from Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are reconciled to God. Verses 14 through 18. Listen to what it says. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we reward no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and have given us a ministry of reconciliation. This is the freedom in Jesus Christ, church. Not by the works of the law we are saved, but by belief in the Son of God. Faith, the just shall live by faith. Abraham, the father, was saved by faith. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that biblical scholars have a problem with Old Testament to New Testament and the way salvation came. Salvation was always by faith. Always by faith. Faith come into its fullness by grace in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. In other words, he kept God's perfect standards in the flesh of man. And guess what they did to him for it? They killed him. They crucified him. Right? And when Jesus was praying in that garden, he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. For the wrath of God was getting ready to be poured out upon him. And he said, God, if there's any way that this cup shall pass, let it, but not my will, thine be done. Amen. You know, church, I know a lot of times I pray that same prayer. And maybe you do too. But you ever stop and really think about it? Think about the sovereignty of God. Thinking about how great he is. You know that song, the God in the valley and God on the mountain. Do you truly believe that prayer? When you say, God, thine will be done, do you believe it? Do you rest assured that regardless of what you're going through, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of everything that you've been through, or everything that you're going through, or everything that might be coming up, not my will, but thine be done. Do you lay all of your weight upon that, church? I pray that you do. And that's times. There's times where the very next sentence is God help my unbelief. Amen. Amen. And maybe you're there this morning. Amen. Maybe you're there this morning. You. That you're praying, God, thine will be done. Thank you. And help my unbelief. Praise. Help my unbelief. For Paul says, For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. This is that future faith, church. This is that resurrection, right? where we can sing. I'm telling you what, when we pass from this walk of life, that old death, it has no sting. That grave, it has no victory. I told them kids this morning, I said, you know what? There's a lot of religions in the world. You're going to be pulled in a lot of different directions. But I can guarantee you one thing. The God that we serve is living. It ain't dead. It ain't decaying. For the Bible says that His Son would never feel or never be in a state of decaying. Amen. Would never feel that. Right? Because we serve a living God. Right? Our God is not rotting away in some old grave, because that grave had no victory. Church. And guess what? This morning, as sure as you sit here and as sure as you hear the words of the Lord, I can guarantee you one thing. If you believe, your grave has no victory. Has no victory. And death has no sting. That's why we don't fear. That's why we have no fear of it. None whatsoever. Thine will be done. May I remind you? Thine will be done. Paul says we eagerly wait. We eagerly hope for the righteousness by faith. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. If you go back to Romans, he was talking about Abraham. He said, was Abraham, did he believe God before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? He said it was before he was circumcised, right? So the circumcision didn't pray, you know, he was just doing that because he was believing God, right? Because God said he needed to do that, right? So whether you're circumcised or you're uncircumcised really doesn't matter. It matters whether you believe. Amen. Matters the way that you believe. A Christian who is genuinely saved, a Christian that is genuinely saved, proves it by his character in Jesus Christ. His works in love, right? We are internally motivated by the Spirit of God. Fighting that external flesh, right? I mean, on a daily basis, right? We fall short of the glory of God. We are in this fight. We are in this fight, right? Well, I'm encouraging you here this morning is don't get out of the fight. That's right. And know which dogs you need to bring. Amen. Amen. And it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Right? How many of you here this morning fight your fights in your prayer closet? Right? How many are you fighting? How many of you fighting your fights in your prayer closet? Are you relying upon your own strength? Your own human ingenuity? Or are you going and petitioning God? God, I know you're right there. Are you going to the Word? Are you reading your Psalms? Are you saturating your life with Jesus Christ? Are you in the Word, right? If you're struggling, if you're going through something that you don't think you can make it through, I know where you can find your strength. But let me tell you something, you got to find out for yourself. Amen. You got to find, I can't give you strength. Ain't nobody sitting here can give you strength. I can tell you this, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you that you find it. Right? But there's only one way that you can find it, and that is through God's Word, through the Spirit of God, right? So we serve, we love, we minister, church. We come here together, we congregate, we worship in spirit and truth. We're obedient, and it ain't because we're good, it's because He is. Amen? It's because God is good. God is the one that is worthy. I can't help but think about Job. Oh my gosh, could you imagine going through the crap that Job went through? As a matter of fact, it was God's idea. It's God's idea. God went to Satan. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" My servant Job. He's a faithful one. Right? He was my servant. He said, "You can do everything to him, but don't take his life." Right, he lost his wife, his kids, he was covered in sores, and the Bible says he cursed God not. My gosh, I'd like to have faith like Job, right? Right? Can't help but think about Job. Right? He cursed God not. But even Job, he ain't worthy to be praised. It is God. Job would tell you the same thing, right? Job would tell you the same thing. It's not I, but God. God got me through these things, right? God did end up blessing him, though. He doubled everything he ever had, right? But Job didn't do it. Job didn't do it because of those blessings that he knew he'd received from God. Job knew that if he didn't receive the blessings here, he was going to receive the blessings there. Amen. And that's kind of where you and I are. We're here and we're going through this life and we're walking through it. Yeah. We're going through these trials, these temptations, these highs, these lows, and we're going through all this stuff, right? And we know that if we aren't blessed here, we're going to be blessed there. Amen?
Amen.
But church, you got to ask yourself this morning, though. You got to ask yourself this morning is, do you truly have faith? Are you laying all your weight upon it? Are you laying all your weight upon the fact that your only hope is in Jesus Christ? For it is by grace we are saved through faith. Salvation comes from the grace of God. You are not going to be able to earn God's unmerited favor. And I hate to tell you, if you're trying, stop. Stop. You're fighting a losing battle. A losing battle. And death will have victory on that battle, church. It will have victory. But the one who will set you free from that burden and being yoked in that bondage is the Son of God, church. Is the Son of God. The only goodness found in God's children is God, is the Spirit of God. I ain't good, church. Do things, I say things, pride, anger, whelps up, but then God comes in and He sets things straight. You know, whatever you're feeding, you feed that flesh, it's going to thrive. The world's going to try to pull you. You know, a lot of the Galatians are being pulled by the Jews to come back. Well, there's lots of things in this world that's going to try to pull you back into the world, right? It's going to pull you. It's going to try to distract you. Where does God rank in your priority list? You know, the problems with the Bible says that Jesus ain't going to come back until there's a great falling away. And church, I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's been taking small steps for quite some time, and they're getting bigger and bigger by the day. You see denominations getting further and further and further away from the truth at a point that they're becoming apostates, and they don't even believe in God and the Bible anymore. Right? You may not think that your light shines very far. But you need to shine your light. A little bit of light can cast out a whole lot of darkness, church. You need to let your light shine. Our voices need to be louder. The true voices, the true church, the body of Jesus Christ needs to step up and start living by their faith, church. Living by their faith. We need to be an impact to the world. Not self-righteously, not because we are worthy, but because He is worthy, church. So churches, we have a song here this morning as the choir comes. It's a time to reflect. A time to let the Word sink in. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you know, I tell them two or three times to do something. By the fourth or fifth time, I'm getting kind of frustrated. And they say, "I hear you, Dad." And I'm like, "I know you hear, but you ain't listening." Because somebody who hears can physically come through the ear, but somebody to listen has a response, church.
Amen.
You have a response.
Amen.
So church, I pray this morning as the Word has been proclaimed that maybe there's somebody here that needs to respond. I pray that today is the day of salvation, or the day that the just lives by their faith. Amen.